Hello, my name is Sasha Goldstein, and I work for Sella Group. This screencast is part of a series of Windows 7 how-to videos in which you'll learn how to use the new Windows 7 features from both native code in C++ and managed code in C# and .NET. In this video, we'll continue learning about the Windows 7 taskbar jump lists. We've already seen quite a few features of the Windows 7 taskbar in previous screencasts. We talked about overlay icons and progress bars, which are a way to convey status information from your application by either using a small icon in the lower right corner of your taskbar button or a progress bar that is displayed across your entire taskbar button. In future videos, we'll also talk about thumbnail toolbars, which are a way to remotely control your application from the taskbar button, thumbnail clipping, custom thumbnails, and tab thumbnails for TDI and MDI applications. In the first part of the jump list discussion, we've seen how to extend the jump list with the recent and frequent categories, so if you haven't seen it, you might want to do so before watching this screencast. In the previous one, we also talked about the jump list anatomy and structure and what can be actually embedded in categories and in tasks. This screencast also relies on some API fundamentals that we discussed in the introduction screencast, so you might want to see that video before proceeding. Applications can create custom categories, can add information to the jump list even if it's not in the recent or frequent categories that are populated by the system, as we've seen in the previous video. You can create an entirely custom category and add information. It still requires your application to have a file association with the file types that you're adding to the list. What you're adding to the jump list are iShell item objects. This is the Windows shell representation of a file, although not just physical files can be represented using a shell item. We'll be creating a shell item object from some sample files and then adding it to a collection. And finally, we'll use the append category API to flush the entire collection to a new custom category with the name of our choice. You can also put iShell link objects in a category. It's not as common, and we'll see that shell links are usually used for user tasks, covered later in this very video. Custom categories give your application the ability to divide the jump list to multiple sections. For example, you can have an important category, follow-up, inbox, outbox, and so on. And it's much more useful for many applications than the standard shell-provided recent and frequent categories, especially if your application has a special document type, unlike Office Word or Excel. User tasks are another way to customize the application jump list. You can embed static shortcuts to other applications or to your own application, passing a command line argument that specifies what exactly you want to do. For example, Outlook has tasks to go to my inbox, to go to my calendar, to create a new email message or a new appointment, and so on. And most tasks should work even if the application is not running. For example, new appointment and new email message or go to inbox are here even though Outlook is not currently running. Now, the user experience guidelines for Windows 7 advise to keep the list of user tasks static, but there are still some applications that use jump list tasks to convey more dynamic information. For example, take a look at Windows Live Messenger. It has a very nice list of tasks to go to my email inbox, to send an instant message, to sign in, and to change my online availability. But if I were already signed in, then the list would change to include a sign out task. Finally, the things you actually add to the jump list as tasks are simply iShell link implementations, shell links, and not shell items. We'll see what a shell link is in a moment. So, to add a user task to the list, you create a new instance of the class ID shell link comp class and you initialize it. Now, it has some very simple properties that represent a shortcut, and that's what a shell link actually is. You should set the path to the application that should be launched, command line arguments, an icon location, and an optional tooltip using the setDescription method. What you see here is that we set the path, we query the actual shell link for the iPropertyStore interface and then set its title, and finally we use the addUserTasks method to add the tasks to the jump list. All of this is mandatory except from the tooltip, and even providing a tooltip is quite recommended for the user to understand exactly what is going to happen. So let's see this in action in the sample application that I have for this video. When I click the Build Jump List item in the UI, a jump list is constructed with three sample files in a custom category and a user task that launches Notepad. There's even a tooltip I provided through setDescription. Now, you can see here that the tasks and the category contents are not a way to remotely control your application if it's already running. And even though there are some borderline examples, such as go to inbox, go to calendar in the Microsoft Outlook taskbar jump list, a more convenient way to achieve the same behavior would be using what Media Player does with a custom thumbnail toolbar. Media Player has a very nice play button as well as next and previous buttons for navigating when you already have a Media Player instance running. So if you're looking for that level of dynamic interaction with your application, you might prefer using thumbnail toolbars. Anyway, let's take a quick look at the code. The bulk of the code is in the build list function. This function is invoked when the build jump list button is pressed, and the window procedure for the dialog, which we're looking at right now, it's the dialog procedure, which handles the entire application interaction with the user, calls build list when the button is clicked. Build list begins by creating some sample files. These sample files are placed in the user's document directory, and the reason for that is that I don't have to actually look for text files to place in the jump list. Next, I create the CLSID destination list coclass, and I put the return value in the pjumplist variable, which is of type iCustomDestinationListPointer. We've already seen iCustomDestinationList in the previous video when we used it to append a known category, the recent or frequent category, to the application's jump list. After creating the CLSID destination list coclass, I call beginList. We'll talk about what beginList actually returns later on, but for now, this begins the list building transaction. And as part of that transaction, you can now customize categories, add tasks, do whatever you want with the jump list. So what I do next is create a CLSID enumerable object collection, which is the list of items that I want to insert into my custom category called custom category. And now I just iterate over the files in the current directory, and I use the API, the shell API, create item from parsing name, which takes the path to the file and returns a shell item that can now be used. Next, I call add object on the enumerable object collection object and add the shell item to the list of items that I want to add to my category. After doing that, you can release the shell item. The actual collection is now holding a com reference to it, so it's not disposed and nothing happens to it. Next, I query interface for pcollection as array, which is of type iObjectArray. I need to do this because the append custom category API takes an iObjectArray pointer, and what I have is an iObjectCollection pointer. After doing that, I can call append category. And here I provide the name of the category and an iObjectArray pointer of the category contents. Now this API will fail if you don't have a file registration for the file type that you're trying to add to the jump list. So again, if you're trying to customize the jump list, you have to make sure that you have a file association registered with your application in the Windows registry. And as you might remember from the previous video, we have here a very nice helper class called File Registration that does this for you. You just say that you want to register file extensions with your prog ID and an array of extensions that you want to register, and it takes care of all the messy details for you by inserting this information into the registry. Now, if this API actually fails because of that reason, then you have this error code returned, which you can check for and act accordingly. Next, I want to populate a user task list. And as you remember, I have a user task that launches Notepad. Let's see that it actually works. Yes, it launches Notepad. So how did I do that? Well, first, I create a shell link. And I put the return value in pshellink, which is a local variable of type ishellink. Next, I have to initialize all the fields I told you about. So I have to set the path to the Notepad executable. And I have to set the arguments. Even if I don't have any arguments, I still have to provide a value. Next, I use the setDescription method to provide a tooltip. And finally, I use setIconLocation to provide the icon that will be displayed in the jump list. And I can take this icon from any other DLL. For example, I can use shell32.dll or explorer.exe and extract an icon resource from there. Next, I have to set the title. You see that these four API calls, set path, set argument, set description, and set icon location, don't change the actual title, which is displayed in the jump list, and says launch Notepad. So to do that, you have to query interface for property store, for iProperty store, and then I initialize a prop variant, I put the value launch Notepad in it, I use the set value method and pass to it the pKeyTile property key with the variant initialized to launch Notepad. I call commit and we're done. We have a shell link that can be used right now. So I just take my object collection, which I initialized earlier, I clear it, I add the object to it, and I use add user tasks to initialize the list of tasks. Now, tasks can't be divided into categories. There's just one area for all user tasks, and you can separate them using a separator. But after doing that, we have a jump list, so I commit it, and that's it. Before we conclude the discussion of jump lists, I have to talk to you about this removed items thing that I kind of glossed over when looking at the code. It's worth mentioning that users can remove items, but not tasks, from the list you provided. For example, I can take this jump list from my application, right-click any item, and say remove from this list. I can't do the same for tasks, as I said. Now, if your application tries to repopulate the list with the same item again, then the list building transaction will fail. It will give you an error from append category or from commit list, and you'll have to somehow detect that this error has to do with the user removing an item from the jump list. So this is all about respecting the user's preferences. If your application chooses to repopulate the list every time you launch it, for example, then you shouldn't be adding items that the user explicitly removed. To prevent this whole error scenario from happening, you should look at the list of user removed items that you get from the begin list call. The begin list call actually gives you an iObjectArray pointer. And if you remember, when I called begin list in the very beginning of this method, I passed to it a variable called pcMinSlots, and then an interface ID and an interface pointer to pre-removed items. And this is an iObjectArray. Now, even though it's an object array, it will actually include only shell items or shell links that the user removed from your jump list. You won't see anything that you didn't add to the jump list. So you should be able to detect removed items and act accordingly by not trying to add them again. Now, if you're looking for a workaround nonetheless, then if you begin list and then commit list without doing anything, then the shell will reset the list of removed items. So the next time you call begin list, you won't get any removed items in this array, and you will be able to add the very items that the user removed again. But this is not a very polite thing to do, and you should really respect the user's preferences with this regard. For more information about the Windows 7 taskbar, other than the series of screencasts that we are starting with this one, take a look at the Windows 7 tag on Channel 9, at the Windows 7 blog for developers, at the training materials available regarding the taskbar on Channel 9, and at the Windows 7 training kit that has some hands-on labs in native and managed code that show you how to use the Windows 7 taskbar. For a high-level design and engineering overview, for example, why the taskbar was designed the way it was, take a look at the Engineering Windows 7 blog, the E7 blog. For API details in any of these videos, consult the MSDN documentation in the SDK. And of course, the sample code for each of these videos is also available together with the screencast. So thank you for joining me today, and good luck writing your next Windows 7 application.